and welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your authorized sales agent for Xerox in Alaska. Call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime at aesalaska.com.
And thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. Uncle Steve here along with my good buddy and co-host Mike Ford. We're featuring our Big Alaska Show book review section that you can find at bigalaskashow.com. In that are Alaskan authors, interviews with them, and links to their books and their websites. This next interview is with Mike Gordon and his new book, Dag Nabbit. You'll also find Mike's earlier book called Learning the Ropes, which is a remarkable story about a very amazing, colorful life. Mike owned and ran a world-renowned Alaska rustic saloon that he opened in 1970, and in it were the rough-and-tumble years when the Alaska pipeline was going, money was flowing, and a lot of bad influences, which Mike got wrapped up in, but he turned his life around, made the goal of climbing the 7 highest peaks in 7 continents. He also went on and got his undergraduate and his master's degree. So I'm here with Mike Gordon, and Mike, your first book is primarily about your life with Chilkoots. You're turning from a destructive life and transforming into a new life, and you seek climbing 7 tallest peaks in 7 continents, which you can find on our BigAlaskaShow.com website in our book review section. It's a good book, man, but you now have a new book. It's called Dag Nabbit, an anthology and a sequel. The questions that went running through my mind, the first thing I want to ask you is, what's this book about, and why do you call it an anthology and a sequel?
First off, it's a sequel and an anthology.
What did I say?
An anthology and a sequel.
Well, what the heck?
It's a sequel first. It's yes. An anthology second.
Does it make you question if I've read your book yet?
I'll take your word for it.
You're right. Dag Nabbit, a sequel and anthology. So why is it a sequel and an anthology?
Well, it's a sequel in that it returns to my life. It's a continuation of a memoir, and it has more history in it of the Anchorage experience, the Alaska experience, and broader, too, international experiences of my life. It doesn't have the climbing focus. It's more the historical focus. And as I mentioned a little while ago, I think a good description of it would be that I used a larger canvas and a broader brush to do it. It's an anthology because woven within the memoir are pieces that describe my life and my relationship with Reuben Gaines, who was my mentor and a towering talent in Alaska, who gave me the right to use the name Choku Charlie's in the bar and restaurant business and also drew my logo for me, as well as a sizable collection of his works that are interspersed.
We've discussed Reuben Gaines in the previous interview, but for those few who haven't heard our interview on the Big Alaska Show, take a moment to describe who Reuben Gaines was. I know it's a difficult task because he's a complex, very incredible character.
Well, he was Mr. Entertainment in Alaska for 50 years. He entertained literally the entire state of Alaska during the time of radio broadcasting. And he was, I can't imagine a more talented raconteur, radio broadcaster, with multiple personalities on the air anywhere in the world at that time with more talent. Mm-hmm. The man was one of a kind. And he had a program called Conversation Unlimited, and everybody put everything aside during that half an hour during the day to listen to Reuben Gaines. Mm-hmm. The subject matter could be anything. Whatever it was interesting and perfectly delivered. As I mentioned, also created the character Choku Charlie, the Titan fictional sourdough reprobate, and his sidekick Sixto Mordecai, while he was in Ketchikan, where he worked in the 40s before he came up to Fairbanks first and then to Anchorage. Mm-hmm. He made the transition from radio to television, at the appropriate time. I remember that he used to give the weather report, and he would use his cartoons as part of that presentation. He had a duck that it's a standard character in all of his cartoons after a certain point. If the weather was going to be sunny, the duck would be wearing sunglasses. Mm-hmm. And if it was going to rain, the duck would be carrying an umbrella.
Right.
It's hard to overstate how important Reuben is to Alaska and Alaskan culture of the 20th century. Alaskans are in large part, you know, we have a culture and a personality, if you will, you know, that's unique in the world and that, to a great degree, the product of one man who loved Alaska, loved Alaskans, talked about it, and presented it in such a way that was unequaled by anybody.
He was such a unique writer. And in your book, it's peppered with, I counted maybe more, but I thought there were like 20.
I don't recall exactly how many. I've got all of Reuben's writings, mm-hmm. and I went through virtually all of them to pick out the ones that I wanted to put into the book. And I got a hold of, through you, Phil Gaines, who I had never talked about the project with until I talked to you, and you suggested that I contact him. He was very gracious and told me that I could use anything I wanted. And during the project, he and his brother John and his sister Christine all participated. They all read the manuscript and all made suggestions and comments on it. And they're all really pleased with the final product.
Oh, yeah. Phil Gaines is Reuben's elder son, and then John, his younger brother, and Christine, the older sister, all talented.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, in themselves. I'm still plowing through this book, but I got bogged down in reading Reuben's stuff, to be honest.
Good stuff. And you can probably hear Reuben's voice
yes.
when you're reading it.
That was something I was... His voice was so distinct. Conversation Unlimited, I can still remember where I was listening to it. And Phil's got the same timbre. He does that same kind of... He can mimic his dad like crazy. John probably can too. But it's interesting because I have to find this because I was just thinking about that when we talked about Christine. And I thought she said something really cool in her little comment. Yeah. She says here, expresses their appreciation, really. And she said, I would like to offer a personal thank you to Mike Gordon for bringing our dad back to life in his no-holds-barred memoir. I've laughed, cried, rolled my eyes, and enjoyed another glass of wine reading Dag Nabbit. And she goes on to say, my dad was a world-class storyteller, and I know he was proud of Mike's ability to do justice to the art. I thought that was really a nice compliment from her and an appreciation of how much it meant to have... They grew up under their dad, and you know how it is. You know, familiarity breeds contempt, you know, but as you get away, you realize what a phenomenon their dad was.
Well, they all certainly realize what a phenomenon he was. Mm-hmm. And they're all proud of his legacy, and they're all very, very pleased with me for bringing him to the public attention again.
Yeah. I mean, her compliment saying doing justice to the art, because Reuben Gaines, for the few who have not listened to our previous broadcast, The Big Alaska Show interview with Mike Gordon, Reuben Gaines came from Hollywood. He was a writer and, you know, broadcaster and later... But originally a writer.
Well, he also had a very good understanding of music. And, you know, John played in a band for me, the leader of a band at Choku Charlie's. Phil plays the piano and who knows what else.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know about Christine, whether she's musically gifted or not, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Oh, sure. Throughout your book are writings that Reuben Gaines has done. And I started reading those. You know how good poetry is, and you have to go back and read it and the flow of it and the context. And you talk about the importance he has of describing Alaska. We lived in a time that was really special in Alaska. It's still unique. When people hear we're from Alaska, it still draws interest. But we saw a side of it that we saw the people who have one foot's in the black market and the other foot's in the good, you know, and the Better Business Bureau, and then you got the guys that are on the line. But Reuben was able to see it from a perspective from a different culture, and to see it in such a unique way and say it in such a unique way and embrace it with so much love and interest. I'm really glad you've done this, because it's really important to keep his legacy alive.
And his perspective on Alaska alive.
Yeah.
We can ill afford to forget that.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your authorized sales agent for Xerox in Alaska. Call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime at aesalaska.com.
And thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show. I'm Uncle Steve and my good buddy co-host Mike Ford. We're featuring our Big Alaska Show book review section, which you can find at bigalaskashow.com. And we continue our interview with Mike Gordon and his book, Dagnabbit. You and Reuben had a very close friendship. It was, you know, it was like friends, but he was like a dad to you.
He was my mentor.
Talk a little bit about that. You had a personal relationship with him, you had a friendship, you had a business relationship.
Well, I think he got a kick out of watching me. He got a kick out of seeing what I was doing with the club, and he was like, go kid.
Well, Chilkoot Charlie's would be like what Moose's Tooth is to pizza today. You are a world-renowned, I call it a bar.
I call it a nightclub, I always referred to it as a nightclub.
Yeah.
Rustic Alaskan Saloon.
Yes, I like the Rustic Alaskan Saloon.
That's what it started out as.
Yeah. But you and Reuben were close for several years.
No, 25 years.
You took a lot of his works and donated them. What'd you do with that?
Well, originally, our arrangement was that for me to use the name of the Chilkoot Charlie's in the bar and restaurant business. He was allowed to sell his cartoons and his records and his books. Well, he didn't sell very many records and books and cartoons in the club. Mm-hmm. He didn't sell very many, period. I mean, he was a creative genius, not a marketing genius.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the bar, I used to liken it to having my hands on the bumper of an accelerating car trying to keep my legs moving fast enough to keep up with it, because it was growing so fast. Mm-hmm. And by the mid-80s, the most remarkable thing that I never ever even conceived of was that the bar became better known than the creator of the character. I just never would have thought that. And I was making a lot of money, and Reuben wasn't, and so it was time to change our relationship, and I took him out to lunch and gave him a pension, essentially. Shelley and I used to take him out to dinner once a month, faithfully. And we took him to all kinds of different restaurants originally, just to mix it up a little bit. We liked sushi, but I never thought that Reuben would like sushi. I never considered Reuben a sushi eater. And one night we took him to a sushi bar, and lo and behold, he took to sushi like a fish to water. He loved it. We never went any place but a sushi bar after that. Not a single time. He loved sushi. For a guy who had the most astounding memory and vocabulary and just sort of huge knowledge about all kinds of things, he couldn't remember what to call any of that stuff at the sushi bar, ever. All he knew was that he liked it.
Yeah.
So he was missed by the Sushi Association of Alaska.
You talk about he had unique ways of saying things. Dagnabbit.
Dagnabbit.
Why'd you call
it? You'd think a guy, he always used to talk about himself in the third person. You'd think a guy grow gills, dagnabbit. <You know>? Dagnabbit was a phrase that Pop, who was one of his online characters, he was my favorite online character. Pop was this crusty sourdough. Reuben, in order to make his voice, would jut his chin out. I don't know how he got that far even, but this crusty old sourdough character. And Pop would frustrate him on the radio. He would argue with him, and he would criticize him, and he would do the Pfeiffer insurance ad that Reuben did at the time, and only he would pronounce it Pfeiffer, and they would have, you know, arguments about that.
It's almost like he was an on-air ventriloquist.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, these characters were, I mean, he brought them to life, and to watch him do it was, I mean, it was fascinating.
You know, you got to see a remarkable thing. This is before digital anything, the camera. I mean, you got to see something that, too bad we couldn't record some of that to this day.
Oh, I mean, I can see it in my mind's eye right now, just like it was yesterday. I had been hired by Ken Flynn to work at KHAR, and I went in there every morning for a while, and I would sit there at the board. Reuben's job was to teach me how to work the board. So I got to watch this guy who was the best man in the business anywhere every morning. And Herb Shanlon, who was this character who, you know, did the news and so forth, he would come in every morning while I was there. And he would greet Reuben, and they would go to the teletype machine and get his information off of there. He wouldn't say a word to me. And about the end of a week, he looked up at Reuben and he said, "Who's that strange man?"
Herb was originally from New York. You know, he was a little bit of a efficient snob. I got along with him fine, but he was an older man then, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but I can see this.
Well, he wasn't a diplomat, that's for sure.
One of the things I like about both books, you have pictures. I like books with pictures. And you've got great photos in this book, Dagnabbit. What I was struck by was Tiny Tim. You have a picture with you. Is it you and Shelley and Tiny Tim?
Yeah.
How the heck did you meet Tiny Tim?
Well, credit where credit's due. It was my manager at the time, Duran Powell, who came up with the idea of bringing Tiny Tim up for a show.
Yeah, baby.
And we had him on the stage with Tommy Rocker and Joanne, who was this dancer from the Bush Company, who was also a contortionist. It was all part of Stupid People Tricks. Show that we did at Chilkoot's was a takeoff on Stupid Pet Tricks.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And poor Tiny Tim, he couldn't keep his eyes off Joanne. He referred to it as Pretzel Woman.
Tiny Tim.
He's up on stage with his ukulele, and Tommy's on the other side with his banjo, and Joanne's in the middle, standing on her hands with her legs crossed and practically naked.
That's such a visual.
And Tiny Tim, he must have stayed on stage for an hour after the show was over, signing autographs. And girls brought in, you know, bouquets of tulips for him.
Oh, sure.
He made that song.
Tiptoe Through famous, the Tulips. Oh, Lordy.
Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
How Tiny Tim, if there's ever been an indictment of pop culture, Tiny Tim is the epitome. I mean, but you got handed to Duran. I mean, what a vision. I mean, can you watch?
It was brilliant, I have to say. I remember when Tiny Tim was on the
Steve Allen.
Steve Allen show. He was on the Steve Allen show.
Oh,
and I remember it was a black and white TV. I remember that. And Steve Allen was telling him that he'd better save his money. Because here he was, this nationally famous guy, but, you know, what Steve was saying was, this isn't going to last very long. Right. You better hang on to your bread, kid. Well, he lasted a hell of a lot longer than Steve Allen ever would have thought.
Or any of us. I mean, just, you know.
He married, when he married Miss Peggy or whatever the hell.
On the Carson show?
Yeah, it was the biggest night that they ever had on the Johnny Carson show.
Anyway.
Miss Vicky.
Miss Vicky. Oh, my gosh.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
Uncle Steve here for the Big Alaska Show, along with my good buddy and co-host Mike Ford. We're featuring our Big Alaska Show book review section. Visit BigAlaskaShow.com and you'll find all these books, interviews, and links. We continue with our interview with Mike Gordon and his book, Dagnabbit.
You know, you mentioned that this one doesn't have the climbing mountains in it, but you do have the Russia Elbrus in it.
Well, you know, because of the confines of writing a memoir, I didn't have room for a lot of material in there, and the trip to Russia was so remarkable that I felt like I had to go back to that and fill in what I couldn't put in the original book.
It was
just an unbelievable trip, not for the climbing part of it, but it was during the attempted coup against Gorbachev. Things could have ended up a whole lot differently.
Yeah. You've got a number of pages dedicated to that experience, and it's a great piece of history, and a recent history. You have too much material, you couldn't get into one book. The other thing, personally, it's filled in a lot of pieces for me, because growing up here, most of my time growing up here as a younger person, there was a lot of things going on here that I didn't know the history to. For example, places to eat like the Garden of Eden in the most unimpressive location, Spinard, in a Quonset hut. So when you went by and people would say, oh, that's the best place to go eat, and you'd drive by and you go, really?
Says a whole lot about Anchorage and Spinard and Alaska at the time, that the best restaurant in town was in a Quonset hut, not on a main street either, you know, back in behind off of Spinard Road.
I mean, imagine a really high quality place to eat in a trailer park is the only thing I could think, you know.
Yeah, that's a close analogy.
Yeah, just. And then the other thing, as a personal, like I said, I knew your dad because he was a coach when I went to Central Junior High. I was around all these names you've mentioned of people I've known. I played basketball with the Chilkoot Charlie's basketball team. The reason you're so rich is the amount of beer I've... You owe me, Gordon. You owe me. Anyway, one of the people who's a contributor to something they wrote in your book, a little blurb about it, makes a really good point. Regardless where you pick it up, any chapter, and it's really interesting. But for me, I can identify with so much of this. And a lot of times I wonder, it's going to appeal to me, but will it appeal to people who aren't from here? My cousin came up here recently, and he got your book, Learning the Ropes. And he said it's great. So, did you ever consider if this would appeal to people outside the state of Alaska?
I think so. I don't think it matters whether you're Alaskan or not, mm-hmm. whether you could enjoy the book. I think the fact that it concentrates heavily on Reuben is more of an Alaskan appeal to it. But the rest of it certainly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Appeals to anybody from anywhere.
Oh, the train trip to
Charlton Express.
Charleston Express. I mean, we won't go into that here, but let me tell you something. I am impressed that you've survived. I mean, you weren't afraid to mix it up there, pal. You're a stud until you got decked.
Well, I didn't see that one coming. Yeah. You blindsided me.
Oh my gosh!
In the 70s at Chilkoot Charlie's, I never wore hand jewelry to go there at night because I worked the floor with my doorman. I knew I was going to get in a fight every night because that's just the way it was. You know, some guy start to walk out the door with a drink and you'd say, I'm sorry, sir, you can't take that outside. And the fight was on.
How many fights have you been in, do you think?
Dozens and dozens.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's why when I'm reading your story between Learning the Ropes and this one, just how amazing it is. So here today to be able to share this story. So finally, Mike, you were telling me your wife, Shelley, likes this one better because it doesn't concentrate so much on her.
Well, that was kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, well, because I'm glad you said that because I think this is a love story besides a sequel and an anthology. Because when you go to the dedication, you said dedication for Shelley. Shelley should be one of Reuben Gaines's characters who's bigger than life.
Oh, he loves Shelley.
I bet.
I used to joke that if he'd been 20 years younger, we might have had a problem.
He'd probably object that. He says, why do you think it's not a problem
Shelley
now?
Shelley and I went through some tough times, like most people do in long marriages. There was a time when we'd lived apart more than we'd lived together. And during that whole time, you know, going out with Reuben and doing dinner with him, and if I'd show up without Shelley, he wouldn't say, hi, how you doing? He'd say, where is she? You know, and while we were eating, if it was just Reuben and me, and I ventured down that road and started to look for any kind of sympathy from Reuben, he'd say, hey, I'm on her side, man.
I've never met her, but I've seen pictures and the stories. I feel like I know her, or know her enough to know that she's the reason you exist.
Yeah, well, she tamed the beast.
Yes, she did. Oh, my gosh. I could see her going, my back's killing me. Thanks for doing this with me. It means a lot to me. This has been a great book. And I was thinking, you had more material than you could get into one book with Russia and Elbrus. I'm assuming that you still haven't run out of material. You're going into your third.
Oh, I've got plenty of material. I'm toying with the idea of a fictional book, a novel. It's not coming easy for me. It's something I'm going to have to work hard at because it's a entirely different kind of writing. I've got a theme. I've got some pretty good ideas. And I'm going to spend a lot of time this coming winter working on it.
Wow.
In the meantime, I'm going to continue to write this kind of stuff that I've been writing.
Yeah.
So there might be another book like that. And in this book, I did characterizations of a number of different people. Mm-hmm. And I'm continuing to go down that road. I mean, I could probably do a whole book just on different characters like that.
Oh, sure, yeah. But I was just thinking, you're thinking about doing some kind of fiction. I mean, who's going to believe this?
Well, that's just it, you know? I mean, I can't tell all the stories. People wouldn't believe it even if I did. If I fictionalize the characters, then I can tell them, you know? I mean, I've got there's just some stuff that you can't print.
Well, how many years did you have Chilkoot Charts, this rustic Alaska saloon?
45 years.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't corporate up here.
It was pretty crazy.
Well, Mike Gordon, congratulations on this book. It's going to be fantastic. We'll post our Big Alaska Show book review section, which will put you over the top financially. You'll be able to put a diamond ring around your bathtub. Mike Gordon, thanks a lot and appreciate the time. Look forward to your next. And the next will be an anthology and a sequel.
I don't think so.
Yeah.